Tonight's gathering was dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Gveret Leah Steinhardt Alah Shalom. We mentioned that there's such a wide range of years of Tzkufos and Beis Yaakov in this room, but the years between us all, I think they fade away in our joint recollection of who Gveret Steinhardt was. Unfortunately, Mrs. Levia Hauer, Gveret Steinhardt's daughter, was not able to attend tonight due to last-minute personal circumstances. Instead, Mrs. Wolf, who was both a student of Gveret Steinhardt and then a colleague, will pay tribute to Mrs. Steinhardt. Mrs. Wolf, née Richels, is a fellow alumna of Beis Yaakov of Baltimore and currently the General Studies Principal, a post she has held since 2008. For the people of my era, Mrs. Wolf was not principal, but the quintessential teacher who commanded excellence. Now, Ms. Wolf's my English teacher. I'm not sure if that really makes sense, but you know what I'm trying to say. She taught in such an excellent way, and she made us perform in such an excellent way. Some people command authority, and Mrs. Wolf commanded excellence. Some of my classmates and I have the distinction of having had Mrs. Wolf for 3 years, 9th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade. I wonder if there's anyone in the room who can beat that record. So we really got an education at Beis Yaakov of Baltimore. But beyond the outstanding academics, Mrs. Wolf is committed to every student in Beis Yaakov, and she is always there with her keen understanding for every single girl. Mrs. Wolf.
Wow. Okay, this is really such a beautiful, beautiful showing. It's so nice to see so many people from so many parts of my life. Wow. Okay. Last year, at the end of the school year, we have always have a teacher's meeting the last week of school. And as Rabbi Zweig, who showed me the agenda beforehand, you know, and is very machpat to keep to the time and keep everything in order, right before he was about to wrap things up, he mentioned that before he closed the meeting, he wanted to make special mention of someone whose exemplary dedication and uncompromising standards give us all something to aspire to. And then he singled out Mrs. Steinhardt. He pointed out her rigorous classes, her unflagging enthusiasm, still in the classroom after all these years, and made special mention of the Eretz Yisrael Bee, which she had started organizing several years beforehand. You should have seen her beaming. She was really touched, and we were too. It was like a little bit random, and particularly knowing what a yucky he was for keeping things on time, it seemed a little bit out of place, but like I said, everybody who was there, not just her, but we all appreciated the gesture. Little did any of us realize that that would be the last time that we would have an opportunity to pay homage to her b'chai. She was nifter just 10 days later. I asked Rabbi Zweig after the levaya, I said, what possessed you to do that? He goes, I really don't know. It's just like he was looking around the room and his eyes, you know, set upon her and he just thought, you know, this would be a good thing to do. I guess, whatever, a lot of siyata dishmaya. It was definitely a spontaneous idea, but left us all feeling very good that she really knew how appreciated she was. And I remember looking around the levaya just a few days later and feeling that she would really be so proud. She would have so much nachas. There were so many students. Mrs. Steinhardt actually taught for close to 50 years. And she was given an incredible kavod achron. There was a packed house of former students and parents, and many of them who had really not just come to pay their past respect, yeah, their final respects, but had really kept in touch with her over all these years. There were often times when I would have to call her to ask her something school-related. I don't have time right now. Somebody's on the other phone. And then when she would call me back, it was this one who was calling to see how she was, or this one to call to give her a mazel tov and a grandchild simcha. It was really very, very special. I definitely had an unusually unique relationship with her because not only did she teach me, but she taught my daughters, and I worked alongside her for 30 years. So I would like to just take a few minutes to reflect on some of the various aspects. I guess some will speak to different ones, will speak to different people about the way I've got to know her over the years. In many ways, once a student, always a student. Like Devorah said, Mrs. Steinhardt commanded a respect and when she told you to do something, you did it. There was many, many times, whether it was preparing for a convention, whether it was working on the yearbook, whether, especially when it came to exhibit, that she would always remind me that she was waiting for me to give her homework. She needed things to edit, she needed things to research, and I better be careful and I better be organized because she's busy. She's going traveling, she has this simcha, she has to, you know, be someplace at a certain time, and if I'm not careful and organized, she's not going to be able to be available. She definitely kept me on my toes. And inevitably, as soon as you gave her what there was to look over, also I'm not sure if that was proper English, but as soon as you gave her something to edit, she instantaneously could pick a spelling mistake, could pick a pasuk that was misquoted. She really had such a sharp eye for these things. More than once, when particularly exhibit time, I would have students who would come to me when I was in the middle of doing numerous things, asking me what the exact word of a chazal was or where to find a particular medrash. And I would a lot of times go and say, come and make this an educational moment, take them to the library, pick out a sefer, and then I'd say to them, what are you asking me? Why don't you go ask Mrs. Steinhardt? And a couple of them, if they were 11th or 12th graders, would say, oh yeah, you know what, you're right. Okay, that was fine. But if it was a 9th or 10th grader, they would stare at me like a deer in headlights, like, no, I can't do that. I'm like, no, you really can. I'm telling you, she's not really scary at all. Not only that, she will so appreciate you asking her, and she's going to give you an answer much more quickly than I ever will. Well, sure enough, sometimes I had to lead them by the hand. Sometimes I had somebody else do so. But they always came back to me, first of all, thanking me because they didn't really ever speak to her before. And it was very nice to have an opportunity to see how approachable she was. Second of all, they came back to tell me that, yes, I was right. She knew the answer much more quickly than I ever would have been able to find it. And third of all, they're like, oh my goodness, she really does know everything. And we really think that she did. Her vast wealth of knowledge became known far and wide. There were many former students who told me that once they started teaching and didn't know where to start preparing or where to find something, they would pick up the phone and call. And she was so happy to help. She also, in later years, toured a number of times in the summer. She took a couple of tours with Rabbi Pesach Kron, and he related that the first time she was on one of his tours, I think it was a Maharal, I'm not positive, he was someplace and he was telling a story about the Maharal, and in the middle she interrupted him to correct him. And he just smiled and nodded his head and thanked her very much. He didn't want to like correct her because she was, you know, and I'm on a traveling alone. And then he said that he went back to his room that night to look over his notes, and Mrs. Steinhardt was right. And he said from that point in time forward, whenever he needed to know something, he would just say, "En Rebbetzin," and she would fill in the blanks. But more than being a font of information, Mrs. Steinhardt was a teacher's teacher. True, as teenagers, we really didn't always appreciate the significance of the Nivim or knowing Dikduk, but she set the bar high and insisted that we stretch ourselves. You know, every year at the end of 11th grade, Mrs. Wilner sits down and discusses with the girls where their placement's going to be for Chumash. Are they going to have Chumash in English or Chumash in Ivrit Bevrit? And it's not really a choice, almost never a choice. And after they would meet with Mrs. Wilner, they would then come into my office and say, you know, I know Mrs. Wilner told me I have to teach Chumash and take Chumash Ivrit Bevrit. I don't know that I could have Mrs. Steinhardt. And I would say, why? And, well, it's too hard. I don't know. I am taking 3 college classes. I can't really handle it. And I always used to tell them, first of all, she's an amazing teacher. I still remember what she taught me when I had her for Chumash. And then you see, like, the wheels turning. Okay, we thought you were really old, but Mrs. Steinhardt is that much older. Whatever. You saw they're trying to make the calculations. But I basically told them, didn't give them a choice, but told them they're going to love it. She's engaging. She's interesting. Ivrit, she was excellent, but she was a drill sergeant. She wanted to make sure we knew what we needed to know. But in Chumash, she was a totally different person. And then I would escort them out of the office and tell them it's going to be fine. And inevitably, when I would find them in the fall and I'd look for them and ask them how it's going, they're like, you know what? You're right. It was really, really, you know, she really is a totally different class and I'm really enjoying it. But over the years, I also got to see a different side of Mrs. Steinhardt. I used to get such a kick out of watching her in the teacher's room, showing off a new necklace or a new scarf or some other accessory she had just bought. She had excellent taste and a real sense of style. I one time bought a sweater that she owned. I didn't know it. And as I'm walking down the hall, I turn the corner, and there's my kids would say, magic catching, Mrs. Steinhardt and I, and the exact same outfit. I could not, I turned beet red. She looks at me and she said, I like your outfit, but you gotta do something about the necklace. She had this like gorgeous, she had this gorgeous piece, and I had this nerdy little chain, probably the same chain, whatever. All I could say is that was the last time I ever wore that sweater to school, ever. wasn't worth the risk. She also had an amazing and a quick sense of humor. There were many one-liners I remember. I asked many of my friends, you know, some of the things that she used to say just to keep us in line. You know, things like, one of us is going to be leaving the classroom, and it's not going to be me. Or when we would turn around to look at the clock, do you remember what happened to Aisha's lute? But, and it was always a great feeling of accomplishment when we could get her to laugh at something that we said. But I think really her crowning glory was when in later years she started starring in the Purim spiels. They would always, inevitably, we'd set up a classroom on stage, and after all the teachers were there and acting out their roles, in would strut Mrs. Steinhardt after the bell had rung with her socks down and her base jacket of uniform and stuffing piece after piece of gum in her mouth. And then she would sit in her seat and blow these huge bubbles. And not only this, like I said, it was a type of thing that we, not only was it hysterical, but it was really great for the girls to see that she could laugh at herself and that she really was very normal. But even greater than her sense of humor was her heart of gold. I saw time and again how she worried about how certain girls were doing, how they were doing in seminary, and how they were doing afterwards. And she'd always say, do you hear from this and whatever happened? Did she get a job? Did things work out for her? And I also saw her very often taking new teachers under her arm and making them feel at home. And then there were other, even more special times when there's a teacher who's going through a particular crisis. And just to see the small and subtle ways she tried to help ease the burden of their situation, whether it was giving a listening ear, or whether it was treating somebody out to dinner, or buying them gifts, or just anything to give a bit of chizuk so that they could feel that there was somebody who was in it with them. Much of what Mrs. Steinhardt was a legend. She descended from the family of the Chassam Sofer, but she was really a gadola in her own right. She commanded respect without ever having to ask for it. You were on time for class, you handed in your work on time, what you did it right, and you acted with true derech eretz. Yet her more recent students saw her as an older student whose mobility was somewhat limited and who needed a walker to get around. You know, one of the students said, in the recent years, Mrs. Steinhardt literally opened the building. I think she was there before the janitor. I one time had to come to school early because, I don't know, PSAT and SAT or something like that. I pulled up at 5 to 8 and she was already in the building. And somebody said it was because of her Yiddishkeit. And I think part of it was that also she didn't, you know, she realized that people were looking at her as somebody with a little bit of a harder time getting around, and they didn't want to watch her, you know, get out of the car in any kind of awkward way. But I, you know, when we would tell them that she wasn't always that way, I remember she used to take us to Piney Run. Anybody even remember where Piney Run is? But she used to take us to Piney Run for a Chumash Siyum. I remember she invited us to her house for Shal Shudas. Now, that was back, for those of you who are more recent to Baltimore, everybody knows where Ranchley is. When you lived on Menlo Drive, you did not know where Ranchley was 30 years ago. It was really the other side of the universe. And she was always quick with a retort, quick with a joke. I one time asked her, Mrs. Steinhardt, how do you have so much dill at your fingertips after all these years? And she said to me, well, it's a combination of good genes and crossword puzzles. You, I can't do anything about your genes, but you should start doing crossword puzzles. And it happens to be that there were many, many former students who told me that when they would call to tell her that they were going to Eretz Yisrael and could they bring something back for her, she said, bring me back crossword puzzles. And a Brit. She used to do, you know, it was amazing. Mrs. Steinhardt taught in Base Yaakov for close to 50 years, and as my kids would say, she was a legend. She was larger than life and so much a part of our Base Yaakov experience. That experience and the collective warm memories of hundreds of alumni are shaped by her and by many others whose selfless dedication was always a given. Teachers and principals who always gave way above and beyond what anybody ever thought was possible. Whether it was the incredible Simchas Chaim and Yerushalayim of Rabbi Diskin, or the crystal clear seichel and knowledge and vast knowledge and penetrating insight of Rabbi Steinberg, or the superlative organization and boundless energy of Rabbi Friedman, who with today's Yibadol L'Chaim exceptional educational leadership and teaching staff make Beis Yaakov not only a thriving Mosad HaChinuch, but continue to be very much a part of a rich Mesorah and a shared legacy that all of us could be proud of. Yehi Zecher.
Thank you, Mrs. Wolf.